יכלת לספר את הניסיון הביטוי רק השמן זית זה, נקים במכון לעבור נקדמים.
And you, you should command Bnei Yisrael and tell them to gather pure olive oil to let you know. Ne'ata. הקריב אלך את ארון הבטיחה ואת בניו איתו מתוך בני ישראל לך ענו לי ארון נדב ועבי עוזר יתמר בני ארון.
And you, you should take to you Aaron and his sons
from amongst Bnei Israel in order to become the Kohanim. Ve'ata,
daber et kol hachmeleh v'shem v'yitziv ruach hachma v'yasu et b'nei Aaron v'kadsho v'chanan li.
And you, you should speak to all those who are wise-hearted and make clothing
for the Kohan. The end of this parsha begins with a very unusual,
repeated call to Moshe, calling him out and saying, you,
Ata, Ata, Zabed, Ata, Abrez, you. Why? Why the emphasis on Moshe by calling him out,
literally doubling the language?
You, you should go do it. You, you should go bring it.
Why is it that the Torah is making a point the outset of this week's parsha that it's Moshe
who has to do these things? He's done just about everything else too.
Why now? Why here?
So it often happens in the literature of Chazal. The rabbis pick up on this question, they pick up on the anomaly in the language of the beginning of this week's parasha. They offer a story to explain what it is you and I can't see. But in two different places in the Midrash, they offer two different stories, seemingly contradictory,
seemingly giving us very different messages. The Midrash Rabbah tells us as follows. Kishe'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe V'yata HaKrib Eilecha
Hiralo. When Moshe, when Hashem said to Moshe, you, you gather, you bring Aaron and make him the Kohen, it hurt him. He was deeply troubled by it. Why? Why did it bother Moshe to appoint his brothers to Kohen Gadol? What do you think?
Sounds like a question. Yeah! He wanted it!
Make my brother Kohen Gadol? After I just worked at putting all this together for you, God? My brother, what's he done? I'm the one who went before Pharaoh. I'm the one who subjected myself
to all of that in Mitzrayim. I've been your faithful servant, and then you want him to be the one closest to you?
He will. It hurt him.
I'm alone. God responds to him.
Torah.
God says to Moshe, Moshe,
yes, I'm giving Aaron the position of Kohen Gadol. I'm giving Aaron the opportunity to do the service for me in the Mishkan. But you, Moshe, you get Torah. Your job is to teach Torah to the world, to teach Torah to Am Yisrael, and there's nothing more important than that. So don't worry, Moshe. You've got a job too, and it's even more important than your brothers.
That's story number one. Story number two goes like this. It's found in the Midrash Tanhuma.
Avraham Zichrono Livracha, our rabbis teach us. Kol Shivas Hayamim Shahaya Moshe Basne, Omar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Veich Bishlichuti,
Vehu Amar Lo, Shlach Na Biyad Tishlach.
Kach Yom Yishon, Vishim. For 7 days, the Midrash tells us, Moshe stood at the snare, the burning bush. God says, go, do my mission. And Moshe says, come on, God. Me? Not me. Choose somebody else. Day after day, God says, Moshe, go. Moshe says, what? God, pick on somebody else. God says to Moshe, I'm asking you to do my mission, and you're saying no, send somebody else? Well, guess what, Moshe? There's going to be a time where you want to do something for me. And I'm going to say, sorry, I'm going to ask somebody else. There's going to come a day where you're going to want to be the covering brother. And because you didn't step up to the plate today, I'm going to say sorry. Give it to your brother. The atah, ha-pri-ve-lacha. It's a ha-ron-a-tita. And Moshe, go call your brother. Ask him to be the Kohen Gadol. But this midrash continues. It gives us the story of what happens later on, and says as follows, come out of Moshe, the time had come for Moshe to carry this out, for Moshe to get his punishment. That he can't be the Kohen Gadol because he didn't step up to the leadership opportunity when God asked him to do so. Amar lo Moshe, Moshe says to Aaron, Kach Amar lo Yisrael from the Nosach Kohen Gadol. God said to me to make you the Kohen Gadol. Amar lo Aaron, Ratai, 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 Aaron says, what? You're the one who worked on this. You're the one who brought this together. And I'm supposed to be the Kohen Gadol? Says Moshe to Aaron. No, you got it wrong, Aaron. Got it wrong. You becoming Kohen Gadol makes me happy. Just like you were happy for me when I became leader of Bnei Yisrael years ago in Mitzrayim, you, my older brother, stood faithfully by his younger brother, never resented it for a minute, never complained. You were genuinely happy to see me in that role. So too, says Moshe, I'm genuinely happy to see you as the Kohen Gadol. I don't take it. So which one is it? Was Moshe bothered by the fact that he wanted to be Kohen Gadol and God said no and gave it to his brother instead? Or is Moshe overjoyed for his brother, truly feeling his happiness? Happy to have him there, because after all, he was happy when something good happened to him. Which one is it? Is Aaron resentful? Is Moshe resentful? Or is he content? Does he resent his brother? Or is he happy for him? So you've heard me before talk about a guy named Jim Collins. Jim Collins is considered to be one of the most well-respected business authors of the last 20, 25 years. Collins wrote his most famous book, probably about 20 years ago now, called From Good to Great. And here's what Collins wanted to know. Collins set out to study companies, corporations, big, massive corporations. They were good. That is, they were earning profit. They were doing what they were doing at a sizable market share. Considered the business world to be good companies. And somewhere along the way, as these companies were growing and doing business, they made a leap from good to great. Somewhere along the way, they went from just earning a sizable profit to earning enormous profits. From having a sizable market share to having a tremendous market share. And then they sustained that. And Collins wanted to know, do these companies who have that kind of trajectory, who made that jump from good to great, do they share anything in common? He did a team of researchers and wanted to look at every analytic piece of data that came out from these companies. They wanted to interview the employees of these companies. Is there something that they share that makes a company go from good to great? And so he set out for years to study this phenomenon. His book, From Good to Great, lays out what he found, because indeed he found that these corporations share several things together. One of the things that he found was that all of these companies that made that shift from good to great share something that he called level 5 leadership. They had a level 5 leader at their helm. And this is the way Jim Collins describes a level 5 leader. He said a level 5 leader is a paradox. A level 5 leader is contradictory in and of himself or herself. A level 5 leader is somebody who, on the one hand, has a tremendous, tremendous drive, an insatiable will to always be better, do more, keep going, never say good enough, ever. And on the other hand, what was most surprising about what he found was that level 5 leaders have deep personal humility. Level 5 leaders were much quicker to assign blame to themselves for their failures and responsibility for their successes to others. Level 5 leaders, on the one hand, are never, never satisfied. Always want more, always want to grow. On the other hand, deeply humble people who don't attribute the success of their corporations to themselves, but to the people around them. Who always want to see the people around them rising to the occasion, shining through the spotlight on them, not on me. It's those two things together, which we don't imagine happening the same person very often. A person who's got this drive, always wants more, always wants to be better, is somebody who generally we see as somebody who's got arrogance. So he sees themselves as great, and yet Collins said that's not the key to success. And so now let's come back to Moshe. The Torah tells us Moshe was anav mikol adam. He was the most humble person ever to live. It's what the first Midrash told us. He didn't even want to accept the leadership at first. That's not me. Who am I? Shlach b'yad yishalach. Send somebody else. Send somebody who's worthy of this. Why are you picking on me, God? That's not who he was. And the response at the end of that Midrash should make sense. Moshe says to Aaron, come on, you do it. Be the Kohen Gadol. I'm deeply happy for you. I'm thrilled for you. That's what Moshe was. He didn't see himself as anybody else. He was a Anav Mikol Adam. He was the most modest, humble person ever to live. But the other Midrash tells us that what Moshe developed over the course of his lifetime is the other piece of leadership. It was the drive. It was the desire to want to keep doing, to get closer to God, to do more for God, to do more for Bnei Israel. And so, yes, the very same time that Moshe was truly happy for his brother, was a part But it's a contradiction that exists in new life. It is the contradiction of great leadership. On the one hand, to have that drive and always want more. On the other hand, to deeply want what's best for other people. To put yourself out of alignment and let other people shine. Before we go this morning, I want to leave you with one more thought regarding leadership of a slightly different kind. Tomorrow night, and on Sunday, some of you will find yourselves in a position where you're going to need to summon your own inner sense of leadership. So leadership of a different kind. But it's leadership nonetheless. You will find yourself in a position where either other teens from this school or others, or even adults, are encouraging you to drink, because after all, that's what Purim is about. And it's going to be a time where you're going to be tested. And it's going to be a time where you're going to look around and you're going to feel, I can't do this. I'll take a drink, but it's a big deal. My own popularity is on the line. My friendships are on the line. Everybody's looking at me. And moments like this, it's really hard. And I don't ever expect to stand up and to say, hey, you know what? Teens who start drinking are 7 times more likely to develop dependence or addiction to alcohol than those who start after 21. 7 times more likely. If I told you you were 7 times more likely to develop cancer by eating something or drinking something, would you do it? Of course not. But you're not going to stand up there and lecture people and say, you know what, 25% of all college students say that their drinking gets in their way with their success. And there are 195,000 cases of sexual assault on campus every year as a result of drinking. You're not going to get up there and lecture anybody about that. At that moment, it's not the right thing to do. But the question is, can you summon some inner strength, some inner confidence, simply to say, no, not for me, not now. It's leadership of a different kind. It's hard, but you have it. A good Shabbos, a good party.